Chap, shout out. Shout out. Buddy, I don't know if you're watching on the internet, but if you are, I'm giving you a shout out. So Buddy Callahan, one of our class members, is in Yap on a mission trip. And so he will be there for till he gets done. How about that? He always goes open-ended, and when the work's done, he comes back. And a few months later, he goes back and does some more. So let's be, as you think about Buddy, that's why I gave him a special slide here, because we want to be praying for him. As he comes across your mind, please pray for him in the island of Yap. All right, what do we got next in the news? This one is a little bit different. Last week, many of you know Jim McGee. Jim McGee came up to me and told me that I was no longer needed in the Victory Bible class. And I told him that's been the case for years, but anyway, here I am. But no, anyway, Jim is piloting a new program as well. He took our class from last week, took the audio, ran it through an artificial intelligence, an AI generator, and had it produce a nice, very nicely formatted summation of what was talked about last week. And I put part of that up there. That's not all inclusive, but just to let you see that, yes, I can be replaced by an AI robot. So that's partially why I wore all gray today, as I begin to fade into oblivion. Shortly, I will no longer be standing up here opening up our class. There will be a very cleverly programmed AI robot. It may look like me. They've got the voice, the audio synthesizers where they could even make it sound like me, but it will not be me. So just wanted to throw that out. Birthdays. Happy birthday and happy anniversary. We got David Pruitt, Verna Hilton, Mike Chapman, and one anniversary. Where are they? Where are they? Yes, right here. Stephen Jeanette Smith. So how many years do we have? 51. Hey, pretty nice, huh? 51. So happy anniversary. Who have we missed? Any anniversaries or birthdays this week?
Jeanette's a special lady.
No argument there. All right. Our guest speakers, I guess we're going to say today, we're going to do a missionary interview. Do you all remember when Dan Rogers used to do those? Do you remember those? I don't know about you, but I always enjoyed getting more insight than what you get in a normal church service into the lives of missionaries. And what Dan would always do is meet the day before and go over the agenda, go over all the things we're going to talk about, and so that it comes across smoothly. Unfortunately, we met like 3 minutes ago, so we did not really have the bandwidth nor the opportunity to smooth this out like Dan used to do, but we did email some things back and forth, so we're going to give this a shot and see how it goes. All right, prayer list updates. Sergio Merluzzi, and I may not say that exactly right, has been on and off our prayer list for a very long time. Thank you, Larry. And so this morning, this is a praise that his cancer is in remission. So anybody who's ever had that happen to you personally, had gone through cancer, or had a family member, which is probably almost all of us, when you hear the word remission, that's a pretty good word. So that is a praise. Praises are always good. Yes. Yes. It's been a long time. He's been on the prayer list kind of off and on for a very long time. Yeah. So that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So we will give praise for that. One more. Many of you may know this, but Lori Jenkins, many of you know her, is in very, very serious condition with, I believe it's called Legionnaires' pneumonia. And last I heard, she's still in ICU, may still be there, I'm not sure, but this is very serious. She's been in there for probably 3 or 4 days now, and very serious. So I'm glad. And her father is in there as well, yes. So I've spent several days in the hospital with pneumonia one time, and I used to think pneumonia was just a bad cold, like, come on, chop, chop, get over it, man, get up and let's get going. But man, if it hits you hard, that's not the case. And so now I have a much more empathy when someone has pneumonia. It's not just a bad cold. So Lori Jenkins. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We will look very quickly at something in Ezra chapter 2, but we're not going to take much time because we want to get straight into our missionary dialogue. So you can look at Ezra chapter 2, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the beautiful day you gave us. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You created this day. You let us be a part of it. You did not have to do that. And we want to praise you for that and give you thanks. We want to praise you for Sergio. We like that word remission. Thank you that you've given him his health and strength back. And we just give you thanks and praise for that. We want to pray for Lori Jenkins in the hospital there with very serious pneumonia, her father also. And we just pray for health and strength. Give her family grace. I know this can be so weighty on the family. There can be so many negative things going through their minds. There can be times of depression and despondency, times of no hope. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just pray that she and her family can get plugged in to the joy of the Lord. Let that be their strength through this difficult time. I want to pray for Buddy over in Yap. You bless his ministry there. Give Buddy strength. Give him the health and the materials that he needs and to do his building, and just bless his work and bless his time there. And thank you that he's able to go there and work on these mission projects. Bless our class here this morning. Make it a profitable time for us. Thank you that we have some missionary friends that have joined us, and I thank you for them. Just pray your blessing on their ministry in their lives, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, we went to Knoxville for my son's graduation, and there were, has anybody ever been in Thompson Bowling Arena for like a basketball game? Yeah, a bunch of you have. So the floor was completely covered with seats. And as all the students walked in, there was approximately, I was trying to sit there and do the math, you know, number of seats times number of rows and all that. But I came up with approximately about 2,000. And I was there to see one out of the 2,000. And just to tell you the truth, I didn't really care about any of the others. But I'm glad they were there. So it's fine. It's all good. It's all good. And they began to we had a keynote speaker and, you know, all the things you have. And then they began to read the names of the students lined up, and they read their names. They walked across, shook three hands, grabbed whatever they were handing out, and, you know, back around to their seats. And I began, you know, looking at my watch and doing the math again. Okay, I'm just going to be straight up with you, okay? A guy standing reading 2,000 names was kind of hard to sit through. I'm just being transparent with you here. But you know what dawned on me? Every one of those students went through a lot of work. They don't just hand out diplomas for no reason. You have to do a lot of work. You have to have some intense study. There's a lot of things that go into it. Each one of those students deserves to be recognized. They deserve to have their name called out. Even though I was only there to hear one name, all the others deserved what they got. No matter, it was kind of painful for everybody in the crowd, but hey, they did the work and they deserve what they got. Sometimes we come to a chapter like Ezra chapter 2. Take a look at that just a moment. Look at Ezra 2. I'm not even going to start reading it. Y'all got it open there. You can see it. Now, if we were honest, which I won't ask you to lie, so I'm not going to say raise your hand. If you're doing daily Bible reading, which I encourage you to do, you better be reading the Bible every day. You come to Ezra chapter 2 and chapters like that, and you're going, oh man, you were like me in the graduation yesterday, doing this and doing the math and like, right? Every name listed here deserves to be recognized, or God wouldn't have put it in there. That's what I got out of graduation yesterday. So now, hopefully, when I come to chapters like Ezra 2, I've got a better attitude about reading through it. I'm really hoping that's the case. So anyway, that's it. We're gonna get straight into mission mode. So I'm gonna ask our two missionaries if you guys would come up. I'm gonna introduce you. Oh, I'm gonna give you a microphone too. We have Bruno and Roxanne Mendez. Did I say that right?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Good. And so the way we're going to work this is I'll be what we maybe we'll call the moderator. So I'm going to do some introductory comments, and then we're just going to try to have a dialogue. And we went over all the things we want to talk about. I've got them on a sheet of paper here. I've got it right in front of me so that I can't stray off and get on a bunny trail. So we're going to try to do that. Our missionaries, the Mendez is, I guess if I said that right, our missionaries to the country of Brazil. They're sent by, we have some other Brazilian missionaries right here there. So you guys may even know each other. Very, very good. So their mission agency is called Baptist International Missions, Inc. And they are located in Tennessee, actually, down in the Chattanooga area, I believe. And if we look at our, yes, we have a Brazilian map here. So we have the map on the left is the entire country of South America. The map on the right is the area of Brazil. Brazil's divided up into, and here's where I'll probably need a little bit of help. Like here we have states, that's areas, or there's probably something else they call it. We're going to find that out shortly. But you guys serve in the Midwest area of Brazil. So make sure you find that on the map. I think it's called Center West or something. Yeah, Center West. So that's the area that they're serving in Brazil. And so we're going to start by welcoming you to the Victory Bible class. And I would like each of you, if you could just briefly give us your testimony of salvation. Like salvation is where we want to always start. Where did you find the Lord? Where did he find you? And let's see, Roxanne, you can start.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Many of you may remember my parents, Ram and Rachel Ribeiro. They've been missionaries in Brazil for over 30 years now. And so I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. And I was born in Brazil in the state of Goiás in the Midwest. So if you put your finger right in the middle of Brazil, that's where I was born. So ever since I was born, I heard the plan of salvation from my parents. But they never asked me if I wanted to get saved. The reason was just they were afraid of me making a false profession of faith as a small child. But as soon as I turned 4 years old, I understood that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus to save me. But since my parents never asked specifically, do you want to get saved? In my four-year-old mind, I assumed they didn't want me to. So I decided I would just get saved by myself. So one day I waited for my dad to go out on visitation, for my mom to be busy in the kitchen. And I went in the bedroom and I hid behind the door. I wasn't allowed to close the door. So I hid behind the door and I prayed. And I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to save me. And of course, my parents were overjoyed when I told them the next day.
That is a beautiful story. Thank you. Bruno, could you tell us how you...
First of all, good morning. And thank you so much for having us here and for allowing us to be an extension of your ministry in Brazil. I didn't have the privilege to grow up in a Christian home. As a matter of fact, I came from a primitive family. But my grandmother, who used to be our neighbor at that time, used to take me to church ever since I was a little kid. So even though my parents were not Christians, they allowed my grandma to take me to church every once in a while. As a result, I got saved at the age of 7 in a church started by BIMI missionary Jimmy Rose. So I am the result of missions because I was saved in a church started by an American missionary. And I grew up in a ministry by an American missionary. So I am the result of missions. And that's why I love missions.
Great, great.
We supported Jimmy Rose here.
For many years.
Lord,
yes. Yes. That's a beautiful story as well.
Your ministry.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story as well. So, by the way, you've heard two testimonies of salvation. We won't do this, but what if I went around to every person here, put a microphone, and said, "Could you tell us when you got saved?" Would you have an answer for that? I hope you could, but there could be someone here with us this morning, I don't know, that has never been saved. You've never come to the Lord. Today is your day. You've heard how two individuals have done it. So there you go. Maybe that will speak to you. Let's talk about your life growing up. So, but before you two met and got married, so just as little kids, just briefly, I'm going to, so you both grew up in Brazil. But did you know each other as little kids?
No.
Okay, so you grew up separately. And I know that the official language of Brazil is Portuguese, but are there other languages spoken there, or is Portuguese pretty much it?
Yep, just Portuguese, except from the...
Yeah, if you're in the Amazon, yeah, there will be some Indian tribes that'll speak other dialects.
Okay.
But as a whole, Brazil just speaks Portuguese.
So I was doing just a little research on Portuguese because I don't know nothing about it, and something that jumped out to me, that this may or may not be the case based on pronunciation, but I saw some words that reminded me of some Spanish words that I knew. So I thought there might be a little bit of overlap. So I thought we could try an experiment here. Miss Julia, you're going to help us here. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but would you two have like a really quick conversation in Portuguese just so we can hear it? You just say one sentence to each other. If you can pick up anything that they say that sounds like something in Spanish, just holler the Spanish words back out to them. Let's see. So this is going to be totally random. It wasn't planned. So there may be some overlap here, maybe not, but at least you'll get to hear what Portuguese sounds like. Okay, something quick.
É uma bênção estar aqui nessa igreja. Já vim muitas vezes como criança. E você?
Sim, é uma grande bênção poder estar aqui e conhecer, né, quem teve impacto na minha vida desde quando eu era pequena.
Miss Julia is fluent in Spanish. Did you understand any of those words?
Well, I think he said that they were happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't get your Spanish.
You
spoke it too fast.
Oh, okay. That's okay. So my primary purpose in doing that was to let you hear what Portuguese sounds like. So that's what you all speak in down in Brazil. The second reason I wanted to do that is because let's see how this works through Mr. AI Generator. The Victory Bible class is now speaking in tongues, so let's see how that works. Let's see how this comes out, Jim McGee. Oh, we have two more fluent in Spanish back here too. I didn't think about that. Yes. How did you learn English? I guess did your parents speak English too? So you grew up bilingual?
Yes. So we only spoke English at home so that we would learn English. But then at church, of course, and at school, we went to school in Brazil, so we learned Portuguese. So I was actually alphabetized in Portuguese first. I spoke English ever since I was born, but I didn't learn to read and write in English till I was about 11.
Okay. And Bruno, how did you learn English?
So I started learning English 1 year ago. So
no way.
Yeah.
You speak very well.
Well,
wow.
Thank you. I'm trying.
I would have had no idea. Well,
in order to come to this country, I had to take an English exam. So I started a course, English course, and then here I am.
So it can be done. All right, so let's go on to, we've talked about your families, let's go on to married life. So you two did not know each other as little kids, so just tell us a little bit about how you met, how that came about, and like how long you've been married, and
okay,
those
so
kind of things.
I met Roxanne when my family joined the Ribeiro Church in 2016, and at that time we didn't feel anything for each other, but during the years we developed a friendship, and the Lord brought us together in 2022. And we got married in May of last year, and we're celebrating 1 year tomorrow.
Oh, happy anniversary. Hey, happy anniversary. All right, so 1 year of marriage.
Let me say something.
Yes.
I have history because I know the family. Ron is a church planter.
So he planted a church in Goiânia, where Roxanne grew up. But then he went to Ribeirão Preto and started another church in Ribeirão Preto, where he joined. So yes. It's the church planting ministry that brought these two together.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Psalms 37:23. What does that say, class? The steps of a good man are what? Ordered? Ordered by the Lord? And he delighteth in his way. Maybe through that church planting ministry, the Lord had some steps ordered for you too. Yeah, I don't like coincidences, so I believe that. Good. Well, most of the time in a church setting, mission work is presented as probably 90% on the spiritual things and the ministry, and maybe only 10% on the actual what it's like to live in the country. And it probably should be that way, because missionaries aren't going around asking for support so they can go somewhere and be on vacation. They're doing a ministry there. But a lot of times we get the idea that ministry is 24/7, right? If you just go by the missionary type presentations that we've all seen for years, and it's not that way. It shouldn't be that way. Your life is out of balance if you're ministry 24/7. That's not what life is all about. It's definitely should be a part of our lives, all of us, not just our missionaries. But that's why when we do missionary interviews in this class, we like to kind of flip that around. We take the ministry side as a given, and we like to try to find out more of what is it really like, because most of us have... Oh, by the way, Brazil is south of the equator. Has anybody ever been south of the equator? I'd like to see your hands if you've been south of the equator. Hold them up just a moment. A few of you have. I never have. But did you know that this just has to do with the way gravity, centrifugal force, and centripetal force work? When you stir your coffee, like if you've grown up here in the U.S., you stir your coffee clockwise. If you've grown up in south of the equator, you stir your coffee counterclockwise. I just totally made that up, but it's amazing. Some of y'all are going, okay, that's not true. the other thing, I need to apologize. I should have done this ahead of time. I'm going to probably get into, we're going to be comparing Brazil to the U.S., and I'm going to say, well, how is it different or the same as America? What's wrong with that statement? They're all America. This is North America. They're South America. But we tend to say America, meaning the U.S., but it's all America, so we're all Americans. So if I say that, just forgive me. I'm talking about the U.S. I'm going to try not to do that, but it's kind of hardwired into us. Well, let's get into mission work a little bit. When did you know that you wanted to be a missionary? And this had to happen before you met and got married, because that's only been a year. So, tell us a little bit about how the, you know, your life's desire and how maybe the Lord spoke to you in a certain way, or you just had this desire in your heart, or how it came about that you knew you wanted to devote your life to missions.
Okay, so in my case, during a missions conference at our church in 2019, I felt the Lord calling me into full-time ministry. At that time, I didn't realize for sure if I was gonna be like a church planter, a missionary, or just a national pastor in Brazil. But under the leadership of my father-in-law and pastor, Missionary Ron Ribeiro, I soon joined Ebenezer Baptist Seminary. I'm sure that you know about this seminary. It's a seminary founded by Missionary Jimmy Rose, and the same seminary that her father graduated from as a young man. And as soon as I finished the seminary, I realized that God was calling me to be a church planter in Brazil. And it was before people felt anything for each other. And
okay, great. Roxanne, how did you know you wanted to be a missionary? And you know, why did you want to be a missionary?
Well, in my case, as I said, I grew up in Brazil as a missionary kid. So my parents are church planters, and so ever since I was a small child, I was very much aware of the needs in our country. And so when I was 12 years old, My dad preached a sermon on obedience, and I went forward in the invitation just to, you know, ask the Lord to help me to be more obedient. And as I was praying, I felt the Lord touching my heart and calling me into full-time ministry. And I didn't know at that point what that meant, but throughout the years, the Lord went guiding and directing me more specifically towards missions. And so actually, in 2021 was when I joined BIMI as a single missionary, and I started raising support to go back to Brazil as a single missionary and work on my parents' church planning team. But as my husband likes to say, the Lord had better plans for me.
Me.
And so while I was raising support, in 2022, I went to Brazil for a short trip for about a month. And at that point, I had raised 60% of my personal support. And while I was there, we ended up hanging out a lot. And that was when the Lord brought us together. And so we got married in May of last year. And now I'm still on deputation, but now he does the preaching instead of me.
So how much time, percentage-wise, did each of you spend, you know, growing, well, even up to this point in Brazil and in the U.S.? Like how many times have you been to the U.S.?
Well, my family had to come back on furlough every few years.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, we would come back and stay a year every 3 to 4 years. As a teenager, it went lessening. Now my parents don't usually stay longer than 6 months. So let's just say I came to the States every 4 years for 6 months to a year.
And then you already had the English background, so you just pretty well fit you were here. And how many times have you been to the States?
So this is my first time.
Wow, first time.
And hey. I got here in December of last year. Mm-hmm. And wow. I didn't speak English. I could understand and read a little bit, but I couldn't speak that much.
Right.
And our mission board decided for me to take some classes at Ambassador Baptist College, and this helped me to develop my English.
Great. Well, so not only welcome to the Victory Bible Class, welcome. to the United States. Wow, that's great. So, what do you think about the United States so far? I know you've just seen, you know, what you've seen, but you guys came up here from Florida yesterday, right?
Yes.
So you have seen quite some of the diversity. Okay. All right. Great. Let's talk about your. We do want to go into ministry a little bit. We don't have to focus on that completely. But, you know, the Bible tells us that the church in Acts, it says they met together. And what did they actually do? I mean, you're not going to find Sunday school in the Bible. You're not going to find the word bus ministry or Awanas or any of that stuff. So what did they actually do? And I think as we look around the world in different different countries, different cultures, the idea of a congregation meeting together, we always tend to think it has to look exactly like this, and that's probably not the case. So how does ministry and church and all those things look differently in Brazil than it looks here? And we're not saying you're worshiping other gods or anything like that. We're all Christian, so we're in within the Christian realm, but the way that's expressed, the way it comes across to fit into your culture, tell us a little bit maybe about how it's the same, how it's different. You know, what does ministry look like there in Brazil?
So in Brazil, it's pretty much like here because we are the results of American missionaries.
Okay.
So we have Sunday school, Sunday morning service, the evening service at Sundays, and the midweek service at Wednesday. One thing that is different is that the main service in Brazil, it's Sunday evening.
It's at the night, yes.
Yeah,
it's not like, I remember. So, I think you all told me that.
My first time at the service here, Sunday morning, I was shocked because the church was packed.
Kind of the opposite here. It's the opposite here in the U.S. See, I said U.S., I didn't say America. Yeah, okay. So Roxanne, anything else that's different? Well, let me ask you this. We had a missionary here, couple of years ago to Australia. Some of y'all may remember that. And he was telling us that in Australia, if you go to someone's home and you knock on the door, you ring the doorbell, but you have not been invited, that's very insulting. And that person will never speak to you again if they see you in the supermarket or whatever. Do y'all remember that? So he was telling us to do evangelism, you can't do that. That's just culturally unacceptable. So you have to find other ways around it. Now, here in the U.S., generally, you can go to someone's home uninvited, and they're not insulted. But in the Australian culture, at least where he was, man, that's a big no-no. So what do you find in Brazil in terms of the culture and ministry when you're doing evangelism and things like that that's different than the U.S.? I know you won't really know that much because you haven't been in the U.S., but Roxanne, you may have some thoughts on that.
It's kind of a regional issue. As a whole, Brazilians are very friendly. They're very welcoming, so we don't really
have a lot. So that's very different than Australia then.
And actually,
so you could go to someone's home uninvited and they're not offended.
And to be honest, I would say Brazilians, in our experience, are actually more open to religious or spiritual conversations than Americans. Americans tend to be a little more offended.
I've found that as well.
I think the biggest difference, I would say, in terms of how the ministry here works or in Brazil, is just you need a little more flexibility in Brazil. Brazilians are night owls, Brazilians are party animals, Brazilians are always late. So our services are a lot longer. Bruno's been surprised, like Sunday evening services, usually they start at 6, end at 7. In Brazil, it starts at 7, it'll end after 9, and people won't leave the church till close to 11. So, and as far as door-to-door evangelism, for us, it just kind of depends on which city we're in. So far, our team has established 7 churches in Brazil. They're all in different parts. So where I grew up, for example, very normal to do door-to-door evangelism. Bruno's more involved in that as a man than I am. However, where we were ministering in Ribeirão Preto, where he grew up, people are a little bit more standoffish. You can still do it. You're not going to get in trouble, but they're less likely to let you in. They'll probably not even answer the door, or if they do, they'll just say, oh, okay, thanks, bye. So it just kind of depends on which city you're in.
Okay.
Londrina. I was 8 and 9 when I lived in Londrina, so I don't really remember. I do remember us going door to door and leaving invitations in the mailboxes, but I don't remember specifically visitation.
Okay, that's good. Let's go to a little bit about geography. So here we have states, and states are divided into counties, and then we have cities. And so how is Brazil, besides what we have on the map, the sections, how is Brazil divided up? Like, what are those called? Like, what's the official
states.
Name? Those are called states, just
states.
Like we have the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much right here, right.
And then, furthermore, within the states, are they divided up further geographically, or
just cities. No counties?
Just cities and no counties. Okay, so that's a difference.
Mark, these divisions here are not official. I mean, they're semi-official, like we say, north in the United States, but there are individual states.
Right.
How many states?
Yeah.
How many?
26 states.
Yeah, 26
states.
Plus the.
I think when I was looking it up, because. They had told me they were in the Midwest of Brazil, so I Googled Midwest Brazil, and that's what it came up with. So that's a more of a general, like we call this the Southeast of the United States.
Midwest, that's not a state.
Yeah, just an area, more of an area. Okay, good. So it's similar to the U.S. in that in that sense, but we have counties, and I guess you guys know. What about now? I know Brazil is very diverse with. And I didn't look this up, but if you look at the coastline and go in maybe 250 miles, that's where, say, 80% of the population lives or something like that. And then there's a lot of jungle. There's the Amazon. I mean, we have Amazon here, of course, too, but their Amazon is a little different. Actually, probably quite a bit different. But so cities versus jungle, like where you guys are, is it more like a city, like around... Like here, or are you? Can you see jungle? Or
yes.
There?
So the Amazon in Brazil is pretty much like this part of Brazil, like from here to
the
here.
Northwest.
Yeah, the northwest of Brazil. But I grew up maybe around here in the southeast, so I've never been to the Amazon, and I have no idea how it's like there.
Okay.
It's like,
most Brazilians have never seen the jungle at
it's
all.
It's maybe far days.
Okay.
No idea.
That's probably gonna answer my next question, but we're going to go to the next slide, and I'm going to ask if you've ever seen a piranha.
I saw it at a museum.
In a museum. Okay. Now, a word of warning. If you have arachnophobia, I want you to close your eyes right now. I'll give you a five count. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. The Brazilian wandering spider with the Australian funnel web spider and this guy have the honor of, it's debated back and forth between scientists and biologists, which one is the most venomous spider in the world. But I just wonder, have you ever seen a Brazilian wandering spider?
That would only be in the jungle. So.
Yeah. That would only be in the
Praise
jungle.
Praise the Lord, no.
Okay.
We have cousins down south. They are venomous.
These guys are nasty, and you can do a little bit of your own research if you want, but these are truly nasty. Okay, one more slide, and then your arachnophobes can open your eyes. One more slide. This is the Goliath bird eater tarantula. It's the largest spider in the world. There's a human hand there beside it. Now, these guys, as creepy as they look, they're actually non-toxic to humans. They're the thing that if you want to handle one and you can, they won't hurt you. But one of their defense mechanisms, they have tiny hairs all over the body, and they can release those. They're so small that they'll just float up in the air, and when you inhale them in, they'll really hurt your nose. They can get in your eyes and stuff. So it's a defense mechanism. But other than that, they're harmless. But I don't guess you've ever seen.
No.
Okay, I didn't even have to ask there. Okay, we're gonna go back to a nice friendly Brazil looking slide here or something else. Okay, we're off with that. Wow, we have. Let's see. Is there anything else we needed to cover? Let me ask about. Are there any questions from the floor? We just have a couple of minutes. I'm just watching for the choir members to line up, because when they do, we have to get out here. Yes, sir.
Is the reason that the evening service is the primary because of the culture, because they're so prone to
yes.
the out of night?
Brazilians are night owls. So even though our days start very early, 6, 7 in the morning, Brazilians love to stay up late, just having fellowship. Bruno, one thing he's thought is very weird here in the States, it's like 7 p.m., all the restaurants are closing. People don't leave their house till like 8 p.m. to go out for dinner in Brazil. So for sure that has a lot to do with it. And Sunday morning, you know, most of the women, they want to get home and start cooking. So it's our Sunday morning services are a little bit shorter than here, a lot shorter than here.
I have a follow-up to that. And I think you guys told me this, at least the area of Brazil where you were. In the U.S., people tend to like to meet, maybe shake hands, but like I've got this space around me that just in general, and this can vary, but most people in the U.S., they don't want you getting encroaching on their space. But my understanding is in South America in general, not just Brazil, it's way more like huggy and nobody has personal. So that would be, for someone who grew up here in the U.S., like you guys, that's probably